My ex-husband is building my salon. My ex-boyfriend is the one who invested in it. I could say I married well, I dated well. But to me, I always wanted to be independent. And I was living in a hotel apartment in Al Barsha, a little studio hotel apartment. I had nothing. I didn't feel safe. And I was like, I'm ready to go. Like, sneak out in the middle of the night and escape. I suffered and I made it. I needed to suffer to be able to make it. And every day looking at my kid, I knew I wanted more. I was hungry. One thing I tell a lot of women is it's okay to want to date a successful man. But one thing you have to remember is money breeds money. The man will not respect you the way he would if you already have your own. I felt women of color deserved a luxury salon. They don't exist.
Yeah.
Okay? Where they're inclusive.
Right.
Why can't I go to the best, most richest, poshest area and get my hair done in a luxury salon next to my friend who's blonde and she has a balayage and I want to get cornrows? Why can't we be in the same salon? So I said, perfect. At a eureka moment. Build it. And I built it, and that's when it went.
What's going on, people? This is your boy, Michael O, your chief motivational officer. Listen, I am excited to bring you a brand new podcast, Moving Mountains, hosted by myself. Find me on Spotify, find us on iTunes, find us on YouTube. Connect with us, Moving Mountains Podcast.
What's good, people? Welcome to another episode of the Moving Mountains Podcast. I'm your host, Michael O. So, guys, I've got some treats for you this season. It's really exciting, right? So, like I said, last season, it was mainly me. I'd come and pour into you. This season, I'm gathering. I'm bringing you lots of people with amazing stories, amazing journeys, so that you can learn and glean from it. My superstar guest today has recently risen to fame as one of the stars of Bravo's Real Housewives of Dubai. She's an avid entrepreneur with a solid background in Dubai real estate, being one of the first Black female directors in the real estate market, and now the proprietor of a luxury spa and salon, The Glass House Dubai. I know she's got some new projects, which I'm excited to hear about. So Caroline Brooks came from humble beginnings to now establishing herself as a self-made businesswoman in Dubai. Caroline, absolutely. Welcome to the Moving Mountains Podcast.
Thank you very much for having me, Michael.
It's exciting.
I'm so excited. This is probably actually my first real podcast.
That's freaking awesome.
This is big. I was nervous, but I'll tell you something as well.
You're actually the first lady I've had on the podcast.
No way.
We are like 50, 60 episodes deep.
Let's make some history here.
Yeah. So it's fantastic. This is your first proper podcast interview.
Yes. I've done one in 2020, like when COVID hit. But it was more so a friend of mine who was like starting his podcast.
Got it.
He kind of interviewed me.
Got it.
But since then, my one of my best friends, who's my co-star on the show, Sarah Madani,
yes,
does loads of podcasts.
Yes.
And so when you invited me on, I messaged her straight away and I'm like, do I do this? I've turned down probably 50 podcasts. I've said, no, it's not for me.
Yeah.
I don't do things like that.
Yeah.
And Sarah was like, do it.
Yes.
So here we are.
Absolutely. Why did you turn them down?
I'm more of like, funny enough, I know I'm on television, but I am more of the girl who plays behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, I am the one who kind of orchestrates things. So being interviewed and being kind of on the spotlight is, I don't know, maybe a little nerve-wracking. And also I'm super busy these days.
Yeah.
You know, we're building new companies and new businesses. So,
absolutely.
So yeah, it's just, I think a scheduling issue as well.
But I think that's the brilliant thing. And that's why I wanted to have you on, because I think it's so important. I personally feel as well. And I took a break from the podcast. I've only just got back to recording recently.
Oh, wow.
Because I said, you know, for me, I'm a businessman first, right?
Yeah.
And whenever there is a conflict between my social media commitments, podcast and YouTube, all of that, and my business, social media is going to have to take a back seat.
Yeah.
So I took a few months off, you know, towards the end of last year. And I was like, you know what? Now we're back. Now
Absolutely.
We're back. But for me, I feel like we have somewhat of a responsibility even, you know, because you have an incredible story. You have an incredible journey.
I do.
And that journey is what people are able to look at look at themselves and be able to, it's almost like a mirror. It's able to,
it's
people looking, getting an opportunity to see into their future. Right.
It is. And my story, though I'm on reality television and a lot of people get to watch me every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. on their TV screens, that probably shows about 2% of my life.
Exactly.
It's there for your entertainment.
Exactly.
So we could maybe film, you know, 5 days a week for umpteen hours, but then that gets cut into a little 45-minute segment. And it kind of just shows one aspect of life. And so I think from Real Housewives, people had this perception of me that I'm this party girl and I like to go out, when in reality, I am a businesswoman. I'm kind of introverted. So they just take the best bit, right? So like if you're having a good time, that's what they're going to use on the show.
Absolutely.
You know, so people didn't really know me and my story hadn't been told. And that's something I spoke to about recently with my newest business partner, Lucy Hilson. And she was like, your story is incredible. And she was like, also the way you conduct yourself in business where you're not selfish. You like to give the blueprint to other women and other men and kind of your truth teller.
Yeah.
And she said that that's something that we wanted to in our new company kind of, we're going to be telling my story a lot.
Fantastic. Well, let's give people the introduction today, you know, because obviously I've been watching you from a distance. You're out there, boss woman, doing shit, knocking things down. And I absolutely love and admire what you've achieved. Okay. But before we come back and we talk about Dubai, let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to the origins of Caroline Brooks. Sure. I'm always very curious to find out what it is that drives a person.
How did I get here today?
How did you get here between us meeting you today, between you becoming a first black female director in real estate before you become proprietor of Glasshouse?
Yep.
What was it? What was the upbringing? What were the seeds that were
sown? So I'll take you back in short. I am from a city called Newton, Massachusetts. I'm born and raised in the East Coast of the United States, through and through Bostonian.
Yeah.
And I'm the first generation American from two immigrant parents from Honduras. So my mother and father are from Honduras. So I am Central American. My mom has roots that root back to Jamaica. So I'm Afro-Latina is what we kind of identify ourselves as. And I came from, let's say, humble to middle-class beginnings. My mother came from humble beginnings, but wanted change for her children. So people who know America or know Newton or know the East Coast know it's a very wealthy suburb, but we weren't the richest family in that suburb, you know, but my mom knew she wanted her kids to have a certain upbringing and she sacrificed a lot for that. And so that's where I came from. So I had a really great educational system growing up. I grew up in a big family. I'm one of seven children.
Okay.
Third to youngest. And yeah, then let's flash forward to Dubai. I was in college and I was doing an internship over the summer for a hedge fund manager in the Upper East Side of Manhattan, New York. And that's when I met my ex-husband, Zoran. We were all out to dinner. He was visiting. He had a business trip. And he was living here in Dubai already. He had come from Marbella, and this was during the big boom. This is back in 2009, 2010 when I met him.
Got it.
And he was a massive real estate developer here. And so when I met him at the bar, I was like, okay, he's cute, he's European, he has a funny accent, but he's really good looking. And so that was it. We stayed in touch, and he was like, I want to see you again. And he was like, we can meet each other halfway. Like, I lived in the US, he lived here in Dubai. I knew nothing about Dubai.
Right, right.
But then when he said the name Dubai, now anywhere that I would see Dubai, now I'll remember that name. So one day I was watching Nat Geo and there was a show called Megastructures that came on.
Right.
And it was about Dubai. And so Zoran and I were emailing back and forth, my ex-husband, and he was like, yeah, I'll meet you in Paris or London. I was like, actually, I'd like to visit Dubai. I want to see what that's all about.
There we go.
I came. I was meant to be here for a week. Ended up staying for a month. 3 months later, I was engaged, and the rest was history. Got married, had my son, divorced 7.5 years later.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I have so many questions.
Okay.
Okay. So, okay, cool. So you've come to Dubai. Obviously, you've settled. You came with a partner.
Yeah.
That relationship fizzled out.
It did.
Now you obviously take on the responsibility of a single mother.
Yes, I am a single mom.
And that's always very challenging. I was raised by a single mom.
Yeah.
And you know, I always find two sides of that, right? So there is my kind of single mom, which was my mother, who had two jobs, sometimes three jobs, and was just going out there and doing it. And I feel like in this day and age as well, there is also another segment of women that you meet where becoming a single mother becomes a crutch, right? Where they're unable to make that progress. Mm-hmm. And it always becomes about, woe is me, I've got X, Y, and Z to take care of and do and blah, blah, blah.
I understand them.
Do you know what I mean?
I do understand. And I understand both sides of it. And I have so much advice for those kind of single mothers because I almost got consumed into that world.
So what was it? What was different about you?
What was different about me was I just had, like, you know how they say, for example, come to Jesus moment?
Right.
I had a moment. You know, when I left with my kid, all I left from with my marriage, I like to say that I lived in a golden cage when I was married. You know, I had it all, but I was trapped and I wasn't happy. And because my family's so traditionally Christian and they did not want me to be married. They did not want me to marry my ex-husband. He was much older than me. They did not approve of it. So I had fear in saying that this isn't going well. So I kind of had to tough it out for how many years?
Yeah.
And then when I left, because I knew the kind of man my ex-husband was, it wasn't going to be easy for me to just leave and he was going to be supportive. No, it was one of those situations of like sneak out in the middle of the night and escape. You know, so it was one of those kind of situations. And I knew I was going to struggle. So when I did finally make the decision to leave, we were living in Belgrade, Serbia at the time. His mother wasn't well, my ex-husband. And I decided to fly back to Dubai. You know, we had left from Dubai. We were in Belgrade just for a couple of years. We were going to be in Serbia just to nurture his mom and all that. And that's when I kind of reached my wit's end. I didn't feel safe and I was like, I'm ready to go. So I called my mom and I said, Mom, all I need from you is airline tickets. And she said, you're going to come home? And I said, no, give me one chance, 3 months, please just help me, you know, for 3 months and I'll get on my feet and I want to try to make it work in Dubai, you know, because living in Dubai for so long with my successful ex-husband, I knew that there was so much opportunity here. And me being who I am, I made good friends along the way, you know, friends that he didn't even know about. And so people really saw my drive. And there was one particular friend who I called when I had got here and I was living in a hotel apartment in Albarsha, a little studio hotel apartment. I had nothing. It was just enough to pay my rent for a few months, just me and Adam in one room. And he was like, I have a job for you. There's a brand new tech company opening. It's a property portal. And, you know, obviously I'm highly educated and I'm qualified, but I just didn't know where to turn to. You know, I either could have just sulked and said, let me drag my ex-husband through court. But then I also learned the law at the time here, being under Sharia law. I knew that if I did this, if I try to get him to take care of us and I leave him this way, he'll fight me and potentially take my baby away. So I made the decision to take care of Adam on my own. And to this day, my ex-husband understands what I did. I kind of tricked him, you know?
Is he involved now?
Or? Oh yeah, he's a very present father.
Fantastic.
We co-parent.
Amazing.
But he has no financial
involvement.
I made the decision to financially take care of my child in exchange for full custody.
Okay.
So nobody can ever tell me what to do. But guess what? I also made the decision to do the right thing because it's the best thing for Adam to have both of his parents in his life.
Absolutely.
So his dad has never given me a dime from the day that the day I left him. And I suffered and I made it. I needed to suffer to be able to make it. And every day looking at my kid, I knew I wanted more. I was hungry. I was the first one in the office, the last one to leave.
Yeah.
I was competitive. I knew what I wanted, you know, and so, yes, you know, you have to, there's moments where you just cry. You don't know what to do. You want to start begging people, asking for favors. Just get your head together, get it right. Look at your kid and know that that's your motivation right there. All I needed was him and I made it.
You know, first of all, brilliant, right? But it's so important for me to hear that obviously he's still involved in the child's life.
Oh, yes. You know, that was
in
my
your
choice.
Son's life. Yeah. But I think that's where a lot of women I feel go wrong, because I feel like we're dealing with a generation now of a lot of lost young men, especially who came from single mother backgrounds.
They did.
with no real father figure in their
lives. Right, and so they don't know how to be a dad.
And it was tough, you know, because my dad left when I was six.
Mine left when I was two.
That's crazy, you know.
And but my mom remarried. I had a stepdad, but it's not my father, you know.
You know, having a some sort of father figure in your life, it does make a difference.
It does.
You know, I know that I struggled with that a little bit growing up, because when I was maybe 10, 11, I went to live with my dad, and it was absolutely horrible.
It was absolutely.
My dad had moved to Ghana.
Yep.
And so it was absolutely horrible. And I remember coming back and I said to my mum, it's crazy because this has come back to haunt me now. I said to my mum, I was like, Mum, I don't ever want you to marry another man, because I feel like I've lost my dad and I can't afford to lose you too.
I know.
And it's tough.
It's really hard for kids, especially boys.
But also,
I'm a boy mom.
So I've got daughters, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, my older daughter, I split up with her mum.
Yep.
But I'm very heavily involved. Yep. The moment I moved to Dubai, I moved them both to Dubai.
Yep.
So that we can continue to, because she has
co-parenting.
Absolutely, because we have such a What I pray and hope our generation does is bring healing for this next generation.
Absolutely.
Who are coming, you know, and also whilst we can bring healing to them where they have a relationship with both parents so they can be stable, that we can also heal and go on to have great examples of relationships.
I agree.
So that they can grow up to aspire to do that.
I agree.
You know, because that's another problem that
100%.
I feel like
there's a lot of generational curses happening, basically. People are repeating what's happened to them, and we have to put a stop to that.
Yeah.
And I also do feel as though, you know, for let's say single moms, I like to be super blunt and honest, because I feel like social media plays a massive role in people's self-confidence and demotivating people, whereas it should be opposite. It should motivate people. What I like to tell a lot of women when they look at me and they get shocked when they DM me and I DM right back and they're like, whoa, I never thought you would answer me. And I'm like, but why not? You know, like you ask me a question and I'm here to answer it, and we could be friends. I've made a lot of friends from people who were fans, and they were like, you noticed me, you know? And I'm like, because I was you one day, and tomorrow your fate could change, and I want you to remember me.
It's incredible.
You know, so my mother raised me to be incredibly humble. My mother came from super humble beginnings, my family. And I said that was my, when I got blessed to be on television and have that platform, I made a promise to myself that I'm going to do right by it, you know, and I'm going to use it for the good.
Absolutely.
Not for letting it go to my head. I'm not there for the lights, camera, action. I am there for your entertainment because my life is entertaining. But at the same time, I also do want to make a difference, you know. Yeah. I want people to know a lot of what they see on social media is smoke and mirrors. See a lot of these girls with handbags, shoes, and holidays, but you don't see who's behind the camera taking the pictures for them.
Like, talk that shit.
How did they get it?
For reals.
You know, so don't get demotivated by looking at the girl that's in Hermes and Balenciaga, because she probably lives with three flatmates and all she has is a handbag. You can't eat a handbag for dinner. You know, so me, I never, ever, anybody I've dated, you know, I could say I married well, I dated well. But to me, I always wanted to be independent because I knew at any point in time, people could disappoint you.
Yeah.
So I never let any of my exes, you know, spoil me with vanity things. Instead, I said, invest in me if you really love me. And they did exactly that.
See, this is good, because I'm glad you touched on it, because obviously we live in this very fickle society, especially being in the world in general, first of all, coming from London, coming from the US, but now being in Dubai, there's a lot of girls who have these lives which are funded by however many men, right? And,
yes.
And that is very much a lifestyle. Like, I struggled to move to Dubai, actually, because I never wanted to be single in Dubai.
Yeah.
Because it was scary for me when I first started coming here.
It is scary.
I would go out with girls and, you know, they'd be like, all right, cool. So here's what I want. And they... No shit. Pull out a list.
Very
with
blunt.
With allowances and shit like that. And I was like, yeah, nah. Look, this is not what I'm looking for.
I don't knock anybody's hustle. Like, do that. But what I can't, like, if you're going to do that, stand on it. I'm the kind of person, like, I never denied it. I went on national television and said, my ex-husband is building my salon. My ex-boyfriend is the one who invested in it. I said it on national television for millions of people to hear it.
All right.
Because I stand 10 toes down on everything. Okay. And guess what? They're friends. Because that's the way I roll. I keep my circle, and I mean, I'm very direct and I'm very honest. And any person who's ever been with me would say she is the most honest woman, and this is why we love her. I have no issues with anybody I've ever been with, and there's not many women that could say that. I could pick up my phone tomorrow and call three exes ago, and he'll answer the call and do whatever.
Okay, I appreciate that you said that. And that's honest, because I feel like, just like you said, social media is a lot of smoke and mirrors. And for me, I very much love to give people practical tools that they can use on their journey right now to be able to get ahead. And I feel like the reality shows, social media, it's the highlight reel of the brightest and the greatest days in your life. Right? Yes. People don't see this great. I was able to secure investment here and there. I was able to do all of this.
They don't see.
But what is this? Because as a businessman, I know the struggles of having to knock down doors every day in order to make shit happen, right?
That's the part I skipped over.
There we go. So those are the bits that I want to hear from you. Like, what were some of the challenges
then
that
let's
you...
Let's rewind.
Go for it.
So I started out as, let's say, I was in a really high position in a tech company. Mm. We were on the back end generating leads for real estate brokerages. It was my job to go approach all the brokerages in Dubai and convince them, you need to come and take a subscription package from us. We're going to generate you leads. And I am so competitive, and I never knew I had a natural knack for sales. But then I became known as the girl in the office that doesn't leave without checks. So the hardest, toughest owners of the brokerages, I'd door knock. I'd make sure I went to the decision maker. I'm not interested in meeting with your marketing manager. I'm not interested in meeting with you. I want to meet with the owner of this company, and I'm going to make it happen no matter what. I'm going to keep pushing until, and then they, you know, once you come in, you meet with them, they don't want to hear it. But 5 minutes within me speaking to them, their ears perk up. And within 20 minutes, they try to poach me and make me work for them.
Yeah.
That never worked. I stayed loyal and true to who the company I was working for. So that's kind of how that happened. And it was on a commission-based structure. So I had a basic salary. It wasn't much, but I was incentivized to want to keep on closing more deals, because the commission was what was going to make me get out of that little crappy hotel apartment.
Absolutely.
And the next step was I got to move to Palm Jumeirah into a penthouse, you know, so that it transitioned me from one stage to another, but I worked my ass off for that. And one thing I tell a lot of women is it's okay to want to date a successful man, but one thing you have to remember is money breeds money. The man will not respect you the way he would if you already have your own. So if you already have your own, now you're challenging him. Because men have, you know, not only an ego, but let's say men naturally want to be men. They want to provide. So if they feel like you have it all, they want to top that. So everything else on top is a bonus. Be successful on your own first. And then look for a partner to grow with and amass that success.
100%. But it's about value.
It's about value.
I always say to women, I'm like, you know, there's, especially in this day and age where there's all this conversation about high value man and all of this shit, right? And you have a lot of women who are talking about looking and finding high value men who are not high value women.
They're not high value women.
Right.
They bring nothing to the table.
Okay.
And for me, I because I'm raising a son, and I'm brutally honest, I mean, I have three older brothers, and I've watched how they conduct their lives and how my mom raised us. I feel like, yes, certainly I'm a traditional woman. No matter how much I have, it still feels good when the man that I'm
absolutely.
With feels like he's taking care of me. But at the end of the day, I know if he's here today or if he's gone tomorrow, I'm still going to be okay.
Yeah.
So this is what these women are missing. This is when you self-destruct and you crumble. You're looking for what? A rich guy to marry to what? Bail you out and give you a meal ticket? It doesn't work that way. okay? You see these women who are married, let's say, you know, Jeff Bezos' ex-wife, she built with him.
Absolutely.
Don't think for a second that that woman Absolutely. Wasn't a part of the foundation of building that company.
Well, that's why she got $50
billion. Correct. Okay? So you need to bring something to the table. Yes, temporarily, there's a lot of men out there who it's a drop in the bucket for them to spend a little bit of money on you and buy you a few bags and a few shoes and pay your rent for a year. But how much value is that? He's going to leave you. He's going to leave you for a real high value woman eventually because he knows that that's what he needs to be able to live happily ever after.
100%. But men know that at the end of the day, if shit comes crumbling down mm-hmm. tomorrow, I need to be with somebody who
can hold it down
and help me pick up the pieces.
100%.
And that's 100%. And that's always
you need. That's called partnership. That's called
100%.
This is what a relationship is.
There we go.
When I fall, you pick me up. When you're down, I'm there to nurture you Absolutely. And pick you back up too.
Absolutely.
It's a two-way street.
Yeah.
And this is where we're getting lost. There are too many people being needy and wanting to leech and wanting a free ride. There's nothing for free in this life. Nothing is free. Even if it's temporarily free and you finesse somebody, that comes to an end.
Fact.
There's an end to finessing.
Fact.
That has a clock on it.
100%. And I feel like especially, you know, men know. We know the difference.
Absolutely.
We know the difference.
Absolutely.
Like I always say that in the past when it has appeared that somebody is using me, I have this thing that I say that, look, at the end of the day, if you can't be used, you're useless, right? But if you're using me and I'm using you temporarily,
then it's mutually beneficial.
Then it's mutually beneficial, but it's also temporary.
It is super temporary.
Right? It's very temporary. There's no real basis and foundation there.
Absolutely.
You only really start to begin to commit for a man,
yeah.
So especially a man who is established,
mm-hmm.
Once he finds a woman who can add value.
I agree with that.
You know what I mean?
But in fairness now also to women, there's a lot of men out there also putting men to shame. And I'll say why. They are also using women too. You want to go on Instagram and you want to get the baddest chick just so you could have her on your arms and, you know, you could prove a point to your homeboys and all that stuff.
The facts.
A lot of men are also giving men a bad rap too. So this generation, we need to try our best for the sake of our children to change this mentality that's happening right now.
It's accessibility, right? I always say that the biggest problem that Facebook brought us is that you think that having 5,000 Facebook friends or however many Instagram followers means you have access to, what, thousands of people, but it's not actually true.
It's not true.
The quality of people, actually, I'm finding, is even becoming smaller and smaller, right? Because you meet a lot of these so-called baddies, and mm-hmm. after a conversation for 5 minutes, mm-hmm. it's like, who raised you?
I know.
It's tough. It's
Look,
a tough world.
You could see, listen.
It's a tough world.
There's a such thing, and I don't want people to lose sight of. I feel like it's now people are starting to get this mentality that there is no more such thing as a total package. There is.
There is.
But you're settling. Okay. Keep your options
open.
They're
not easy to find, but
what? I want people to know who get demotivated. Like, you know, when you first have a fresh breakup, you feel like it's the end of the world. Mm. The world is so big.
Yes.
There are so many people.
Yes.
You could start over 50 times and that's nobody's business. Okay.
Yes.
Nobody has the right to judge you.
100%.
So you could start over 100 times. Every new day is a new chance for you to start over and do the right thing.
Yeah.
So if you did something wrong, learn from your mistakes and then progress.
100%.
I do think that everybody should try to, you know, instead of having the mentality like, I've struggled my whole life, I've been poor, I just want a rich man or I just want a rich woman. Don't think like that. Happiness, like once you die, you're not taking any of that wealth with you. You don't have to be the richest person on earth to be happy. My housemaid, look at me, I'm a successful woman, but I could say most days she's happier than me. Her bills are paid. She has no stress. She knows that she lives in a fabulous house. She has all the amenities. People don't think like that.
Yeah.
The person who employs her is the one that is stressed.
100%. It's like, you know, one of the things that I wrote down when I first started this year is that my goals every year is to go for more. And I said this year my goal is to do less, is to subtract, is to take away. I don't necessarily want to be doing more to achieve more. I just want to, this year for me is more about self-growth more than anything else.
Absolutely.
Such that you can become so effective that doing very little produces so much without necessarily having to do so much more.
My slogan is you need to work smart. You don't need to work hard.
100%.
When you work smart, there's no need to work hard.
Right.
Like right now in my life, I'm working smart because I already did the hard work before.
Yeah.
Now I know the blueprint.
Yeah.
So now I know when I start a new company, what to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that company could kick off in a week's time because I already made all those trial and error. And this is why when I see young girls or people who look up to me leave a little comment or send me a message, I feel obligated to respond.
Right.
Because maybe that one message I send them can change everything for them, you know? And I wish that there were somebody when I was going through that climb that was there for me, but I didn't have that. So now I made an oath to myself, let me be that person for everybody else, because it doesn't take food off my plate to watch other people eat.
Absolutely. There's, like, I always say that the competition is only at the bottom.
Yes.
At the top, there's only collaboration.
Correct.
Right?
So when you see people wanting to be super competitive, and in the sense of like, not even competitive, competitive is good. Compete with yourself.
Right.
But when you see people kind of hating, trying to block other people's bags.
Yeah.
They're not.
You don't even believe in your own source.
Yeah, you don't even have confidence in yourself.
Yes.
Because I could be on the climb and I could see a parallel company doing something similar to me. And I could use yesterday Glasshouse, for example. There's a salon two doors down from Glasshouse. And I walked in yesterday to get my hair blow dried in my own salon. And I was looking for the girl in my salon, one of my employees who blow dries my hair. And I was like, where is she? I said to the other stylist. And he shrugged. He didn't really want to tell me. I said, where is she? And he goes, she's in the salon next door because they had a catastrophe with somebody's hair. She's just helping. Was I mad? No. I waited for her to come back. And I was like, Stella, girl. And she's like, madame, they needed me. They need me to detangle her hair. Otherwise, they would have a problem.
That's awesome, though.
That's my heart.
That's
you know?
Brilliant.
So it doesn't, again, why would I want to see their business suffer just to what? You know what I mean? If we can help you, we can help you.
Absolutely.
You are my competition, but at the same time, it was the right thing to do.
Absolutely. And I love that. I love that. And that's why you will continue to grow and continue to be successful. And on that note, congratulations on phase two consultancy.
Thank you very much.
Adding something else to it.
Thank you.
I'm going to let you tell us a little bit more about that in a sec.
Okay.
But I'm curious to know what do you want to achieve? What is your purpose? What is the essence of Caroline Brooks?
The essence of me, I feel like the essence of me, wow, what is the essence of me? There's a lot packed into one body. You know, I've seen a lot, I've been through a lot in this world, and I think it will take time to slowly be able to put out to the world my real story and who I am and why I am the woman I am today. But what I want in the immediate is to keep adding value to the world. Wherever I see, even with the Glasshouse, the purpose of me opening the Glasshouse was because I felt women of color deserved a luxury salon. They don't exist.
Yeah.
Okay. Where they're inclusive. You know, that's what I built. I built Glasshouse based on my own bitterness and anger towards having to go to the hood to get my hair done.
Right.
Why can't I go to the best, most richest, poshest area and get my hair done in a luxury salon that has a menu and that has the best of the best of the best of the best? Why? I could afford it.
Yeah.
So why do I have to go down there to do my hair?
Yeah.
And why also can't I get my hair done next to my friend who's blonde and she has a balayage and I want to get cornrows? Why can't we be in the same salon? Why doesn't this exist in 2024?
Right.
Why? So I said, perfect, at a eureka moment. I said, Caroline, you have the capital. Build it. And I built it, and that's when it went global and it
Fantastic.
Went nuts. Fantastic. You know, so I built the Glasshouse because that's where I got the taste for being an entrepreneur. Mm. And that's when I knew business model wise, every company I build moving forward has a purpose. There's a reason behind it. And it's not only money motivated. There's a reason because there may be a gap in the market or there may be a need for this. And in turn, certainly I get more and more successful because it becomes a lucrative business because where there's a want, there's a demand. You know. So there's...
Absolutely.
There it is.
One of my favorite quotes is from a man called Jim Rohn. And Jim Rohn says, you can get whatever you want in life if you can help enough other people get what they want.
Absolutely.
And that for me is my ethos in business, right?
Absolutely.
It is creating something to help other people else. And in the process, I can cash
it. Yeah.
It also helps me.
It was a great investment, great idea. I knew the beauty industry was a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Yeah.
Naturally, I'm also a numbers woman, and I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a smart businesswoman. So I said it has to make sense financially too, and I knew this is unique. There's nowhere, number one, the Middle East. And then I kind of looked across the world, and I said there's nowhere in the world that has inclusive. Salons are segregated. You go, if you're a black person, you're going to go over to the black barbershop or to the black hair salon.
Yep.
And then 9 out of 10 times, the locations of those would be in urban areas where they feel like the demographic of that their clientele will be. But in Dubai, because we're such a melting pot,
right,
we don't have... that kind of segregation. We all kind of live amongst each other because Dubai is 88% expats, 12% local.
Right.
So I knew I wanted one of the most prestigious, wealthy areas, and I'm a black woman, and I made sure everybody knew because I put my pictures from head to toe all over that salon. You can't walk in without knowing who owns it.
I fucking love it.
So, you know, like, and our clientele is predominantly Arab and white, and black girls come in there too. And I feel like when the black girls do come in there, they're proud.
Absolutely.
And they feel good, and you feel pampered, and you know, like, we deserve this.
Absolutely.
I did this for us.
Yes. Representation matters.
Yes. You know, I did it for us. It's not for me.
We need to see this. And your new consultancy firm, what are you trying to achieve with that?
Phase two.
Yeah.
So phase two consultancy, we are not only consultancy, we're concierge, public relations, and consultancy. And Lucy Hilson is my business partner, and she's been doing PR for over 20 years. And she was actually my personal PR before we decided to open this company together. Cool. I looked at her business, and I saw what she does for people, and I was like, nice. Without PR, half of these people wouldn't even be famous.
Absolutely.
And so I realized this is big. We're sitting on something big, but this could be bigger.
Yeah.
And so we kind of looked at each other. She saw my work ethic and my business model and how I conduct myself in business. We kind of both looked at each other like, hey, let's start something.
Yeah.
And so we did. We started to build the business model. And I said, no, it shouldn't only be PR, Lucy. We're not going to just do celebrity PR. We're going to make this accessible for everybody. What about the stay-at-home moms that do just want to actually talk about, you know, their life, but nobody can hear their story because they don't have anybody who could put them out there? We don't limit ourselves. Yes, we're exclusive, you know, and yes, we're on the more higher-end luxury end, but we're able... People who you would never think would be able to have the kind of exposure that we're going to provide for them are going to get it. And so again, there was a bridge, there was a gap in the market. We see loads of PR companies that just focus on restaurants. They focus on beauty brands, but there's nobody who does it all around. We have clients on Wall Street, investment bankers.
Yeah.
You know, we have actresses, we have everybody. So again, we are inclusive, and that was super important. Then we lumped that in with concierge because everything goes hand in hand.
Absolutely.
What about these public figures? Okay, these are the same people who want to be able to get on a private jet. These are the same people who want to be able to get a table in Mykonos when everything is booked. Where those people you come to.
Congratulations.
There is no.
I fucking love it. I love it. You know, you have to come back for part two.
Yes.
You have to come back for
Absolutely.
Part two.
Absolutely, I'm ready.
Because there's so much that I want to discuss.
To unpack.
And I think you have to come back in 90 days. Let's do that.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Last question I want to ask you before we wrap up, though. You're doing so much. You're giving out there. Like you said, people DM you, you respond. Who or what inspires you now? Who's pouring into you?
I think my biggest inspiration to me now is my own failures.
Mm.
My failures inspire me. because I look back on all the mistakes I made and I said, wow, like, I wish I never did that. But now, you know what? Stop wishing, Caroline. Just make it right. Do something bigger and better. I inspire me.
Yeah.
I'm my own inspiration. Every morning I look in the mirror and I'm inspired.
You heard it first. You heard it first. I feel like we've gotten to know you a little bit better.
I'm happy about
Caroline,
it.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for
like
having
I said,
me, Michael.
You know, she's got to come back. She's got to come back because there's so much more that I want to unpack.
So much more.
You know, there's so much more to it. You're out there, you're doing so much. And beyond that, there's so much room for collaboration as well.
Absolutely.
And for me, I always want to give my audience practical tools, you know, people who they look up to be able to come and say, look, I've been in this situation. I was once where you are now.
Yeah.
And these are the steps that I took to be able to get from there, to be able to get where you're trying to go.
Well, I have the blueprint and I want to actually share it with the world. So for the girls that do feel demotivated, or for the men too, because I'm not sexist, for the girls and guys who feel like I have no other option, I'm stuck, I'm broke, I'm this, I'm that. Let me hear about your story and let me tell you what you're doing wrong and let me tell you how you can fix it and let me help you grow.
Fantastic.
So that's, I hope for part two, let's do a little bit
fantastic.
Of that.
Thank you for coming on the Moving Mountains
podcast.
Thank you,
Michael, for having me.
See you same time next week.
All new episodes drops every Monday and Wednesday, available on all platforms.